Okay, I just wanted to share a few more thoughts on the law. We talked about the law, and you and I listened to it yesterday. And you guys probably don't remember, it's been so long, but we established the fact that we're not under the law of Moses as Gentiles, or even as Jews. We're not obligated to keep the law. And that's very clear in the New Testament. But I wanted to just give a few more ideas, share a few more thoughts on it that I left out. We're not obligated to keep the law, but does that mean we shouldn't keep the law? No. In Christ, we're free, right? We're free to keep the law if that's the way the Spirit leads. We're free to not keep the law if that's the way the Spirit leads. It's all about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, as it says in Romans. So it's not that we're lawless or not under the law. We're under the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ, the law of love, the law of liberty. So we have liberty in Christ. We have liberty to keep the Sabbath if the Spirit leads. We have liberty to break the Sabbath if the Spirit leads us to go work. But we have to be under the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ. We have to be subject to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, it's all about coming out of the letter that kills into the Spirit that gives life. So, just a few more thoughts. Romans chapter 14, Paul says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things." In other words, we shouldn't debate with others about things that aren't clearly laid forth in the Scripture as sinful. The Scripture tells us not to be drunken, so we don't need to dispute over that. But it doesn't tell us how to dress. It gives us a principle, dress modestly, but it doesn't tell us how to cut our hair. It doesn't tell us what to eat. So we shouldn't dispute with others over those things. "For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind." In other words, Paul is confident in the Spirit's ability to lead his people who are filled with his Spirit. Now, of course, he laid down certain laws for the Corinthians, didn't he? Because they were carnal. The Scripture says that the sons of God are led of the Spirit. Those who are led of the Spirit are sons of God. He told the Corinthians, "You're babes in Christ, you're carnal." So he laid down certain laws for them because of their carnality, because they were not being led of the Spirit. He said, "Don't let your women talk at church because they're just being disruptive." So he trusted the Spirit's ability to lead God's people, and it's contingent upon the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And Jesus said, "He who has my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me, and he will be loved of my Father, and we will come and manifest ourselves to him, and we will come and make our abode or our home with him." So it's contingent upon loving Christ and obeying his commands to have the indwelling Spirit. But Paul's confident that if the Spirit dwells within and you're led of the Spirit, then he'll lead you as to whether you should keep the Sabbath or not, or pay tithes or not, or eat certain meats or not. So 14:6 says, "He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." And verse 12 says, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. I'll just throw in here, people talk about the need to be accountable, accountability. And I say, show me that in the Scripture. The Scripture doesn't talk about being accountable to one another. It does say in more than one place we're accountable to God. We will give account to Christ.
Does it say submit one to another?
Yes, submit one to another. But we don't give account to one another. I don't have to check in with you. I have to check in with my Master. There's a difference between willingly submitting to you and giving account or being accountable to you. I don't believe you can support that with Scripture. Never talks, to my knowledge, it never talks about being accountable or giving account to one another, just to Christ. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. And then he goes on to talk about love. See, the end of the commandment is love, and if you cause your brother to stumble, you're not walking in love. So Paul says, I'm going to limit my freedom. I can eat all things. But if my brother who's weak in faith can't eat things sacrificed to idols, if he sees me doing it, then he's emboldened to do it, and it hurts his conscience because he's not doing it in faith. And Paul says, whatever is not of faith is sin. So then I make my brother sin through my liberty. He says, that's not walking in love. I'm going to limit myself. I'm not going to eat meats if it causes my brother to stumble. I'm not going to drink wine if it causes my brother to stumble. He says, if you're going to have faith, have it to yourself in private. But don't put a stumbling block before your brother. That's not walking in love. And we'll see an example of that. Paul lived that out in Acts. And when this is in Acts chapter 21:17. And when he had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, you see, brother, how myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, nor walk according to the customs. What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads and that all may know that those things of which we were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing, except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from sexual immorality. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with them, entered the temple to pronounce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each of them. So, why did Paul do that? He did that out of love to keep the Jewish brothers from stumbling. He saw that they were zealous for the law. And here he is walking free from the law. And he's going to cause an uproar. And so he goes in and purifies himself and shows them that he is under the law. So he explains this in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Okay. Paul says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of it with you. So he explains it. Doesn't now make sense, doesn't it? Paul was free. Peter was free. Paul clearly said, Peter, why you being a Jew, if you being a Jew live like a Gentiles, why do you require the Gentiles to live like a Jew? So, obviously, Peter was living as a Gentile, free from the law. Paul was free from the law, yet not from the free from the law of Christ. In other words, Paul was bound by love and by his debt of love that he owed all men. And so he became all things to all men. He limited his freedom for others. Yet he was free. Yet being free, he was a bondservant of Christ, wasn't he? So, do Jews have to keep the law if they believe? No, they don't have to, but they certainly may. They're free. As long as they're in the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit's leading, and they're doing it out of love, and they're not judging others for not doing it. Now, that's the key. When he talks about one man eats meats and another doesn't, he says, we ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. He says that in... So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died, for whom Christ died. Therefore do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I'll just mention that I think you could add in there that the kingdom of God is not meeting and meat and drink and dress and haircut and Sundays
or Saturdays.
For righteousness, peace, and joy, what? In the Holy Ghost. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food or rock music or dress or dancing or whatever. All things indeed, and I mean dancing as unto the Lord, not in the bar. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatsoever is not from faith is sin. We then, chapter 15, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not please ourselves. Any man who's going to lay on you a Christian law is the weak brother, because he doesn't have the freedom, okay? And he doesn't understand the Spirit's leading. Maybe God has spoken to him, you can't do this certain thing. Maybe the Spirit of God has said, you need to keep the Sabbath. If he's a weak brother, he's not going to be content to do that. He's going to put that on you. And we should bear with him the scruples of the weak. We shouldn't flaunt our freedom in front of him because it'll cause him to stumble. He's the weak one. If he thinks you can't worship God with rock music or drums, then we shouldn't invite him over to the house and put on Limbaugh Cooley or Third Day. You know, we should put on the nice harp music that he likes so we don't cause him to stumble or cause offense, so that we don't dispute over questionable things. But he's the weak brother. And I do not believe it is wise at all for a man or a movement or an organization to say, these are the list of our scruples, and if you're going to be a part of us, you have to go by these things. Because here's what's going to happen. I say you've got to have bound, uncut hair. You can't cut your hair. And so I think that's one of God's scruples. But if you're going to join up with us, then you've got to do that. You can't cut your hair. You know what's going to happen? You're going to eventually say, well, we're God's chosen and his elect, and we're more holy than those around us. And you're going to judge everybody you see, their spiritual condition, by how they cut their hair. That's just the facts. That's what it does. And that's a weak brother doing that. If you have to wear a head covering to go worship in that church, it's because some weak brother has imposed his scruples upon you. And I guarantee you, y'all are going to end up judging others by it. It's just the way it works. Because Paul says here two or three times, let not him who does not eat judge others. And let not him who eats despise them. So those of us who are free to wear our shave my head or cut your hair, we don't despise those who can't. Even though we know they judge us, we still don't despise them.
But it's honoring and showing love if we do worship with them, took it over our head.
Yeah, if we do go worship with them, then we're in love by covering our head. Because then we're bearing with the scruples of the weak and we're not causing them to stumble. So there are many disputable things. There are no laws in the New Testament as far as dress codes and such. Those who would contend that there are going to have, they're on pretty shaky ground scripturally to prove that, as far as I'm concerned. I think what you have to do is look at principles. There is a principle, you dress modestly. Well, that's so you don't cause somebody to sin. So we understand the principle, then the Spirit of God has to lead you as to what kind of dress is modest. But there are no dress codes. There is no New Testament law, quote unquote, where you've got to wear a head covering and it's got to be black and you've got to wear a dress and etc., etc., etc. Those are yokes that men put on the backs of other men. And to those men, I would say the same thing Peter said. Why do you put a yoke on the back of the brethren that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear? And that could apply to the law of Moses, and it could apply to Christian laws that men have come up with that are membership requirements. There are no membership requirements in the New Testament. Paul says, one man esteems one day above another. Another man doesn't. Let every man be convinced in his own heart. He doesn't say, elders, you go around and impose your scruples upon others. No, he doesn't say that. He says, you just allow them to be convinced in their own mind, their own heart. Is there anything I missed? You listened to the other message yesterday. Is there anything you're wondering about or thought I should have included? On do we need to keep the law?
He had it on his iPod. He recorded it.
Oh, your message.
Yeah. Let's see. So we're free, okay? We're bound by love. We're free to keep the law of Moses. We're free not to. As the Spirit leads. That's the key. The key is the new covenant, right, is all about the Spirit within us writing His commands on our minds and hearts. He who has my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me, Jesus said. So He will give us commands. He'll say, get up at this time of day, or do this on Sunday, or dress this way, or don't dress. He'll tell us what to do with our days. On Sundays we say, Lord, what shall I do today? Sometimes He has us rest and worship. Sometimes He has us work, right? So it's all about being led of the Spirit. And it's all about walking in love. And of course, we do not use our freedom as a license to sin. We don't use our freedom as license. That's not what we're talking about. And if anybody would accuse us of that, that would just be dishonest, because that's not what we're saying. And everybody knows that's not what we're saying. It's not what Paul said.